You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Man, welcome back to Urban Sports Scene. Thought we was going to have a full roster, but we're only here with two people. You know, I'm Wally, super engineer, whatever Will T calls me. And I'm here with, you know, Ray Jeezy, the lead mic, usually, but, you know, the lead out today. Ray, how you doing today, sir?
I'm a little upset. It's been a tough day. Will T canceled again on the last minute. I think he's still feeling the effects from that triathlon, which he missed 2 days of work, had a high fever, sore on every bone of his body. It's amazing what riding a bike can do.
He's our boxing guy. How the hell does he not show up? You know, Mayweather, Ortiz, which we'll talk about later. I don't understand why would he not show up? That's my man and everything, but this is his thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, evidently his national anthem was just as controversial as the ending of the fight.
Obviously, very controversial. But something, let's jump into our tradition, the pregame. NBA labor talks resume without David Stern and Billy Hunter. Wow. See, I used my radio voice for that one. See how that worked?
Yeah. that's your radio voice?
Yeah, that's like the NIH radio voice when I do it work.
Oh, okay.
You see how, like, the tempo? Okay. It's totally different than how I really talk.
Yeah, well, my question was, this meeting pointless today, or tomorrow, that schedule, without David Stern and Billy Hunter, what do you accomplish?
It's pointless to me. You need to, I mean, if you're going to come up with a resolution, you need both of the lead heads of either organization, either the players and the NBA. So to not have either there, to me, it is pointless.
Yep. Further indication, it's going to be a lockout that drags on into the season, possibly losing the entire season. And if that happens, Kobe Bryant is reportedly set to provide loans, amongst other people who haven't been named yet. Provide loans for players who are in need. You know, I don't get it. How do you blow money?
People like Delonte West need money because they can't go overseas due to the, you know.
Well, I don't know about Delonte West might have been joking when he said that. I try to think of worst case scenario, like a Steve Blake. His first year, he made $250,000. Now, what do you do with that? You put a down payment on a house, obviously. You probably pay off a car. Between those two things, you shouldn't spend any more than $70,000.
That's true.
Now, after taxes, I guess $250 is what your gross salary. After taxes, you're pulling about what, $170, $180?
Yeah, but if we're comparing them to our standards, yes, they shouldn't need any money. But we all know that pro athletes have a whole different lifestyle, so they live it recklessly to a lot of normal individuals. When I mean normal individuals, I mean people of middle class. So
that might be true, but what's the point of having financial advisors, planners, rookie symposiums? Is that the name of it in the NBA?
It's a question that we've all, you know, had for like years in terms of like why players spend so much this, that, and the other. It's like I said, you know, everybody loves the hip-hop generation.
My pride would be in the way. I'm sorry. I would sell something before I borrow money from Kobe Bryant. Just imagine if you borrow $100,000. That doesn't meet your standards or your needs. You may have to call him back and say, hey, I need about $50,000 more. Imagine if you have a hard time paying it back. Is there interest rates involved? You're on the court. You're talking trash. Oh, you still owe me money. That would shut somebody up quick.
And one. Exactly. With $100,000.
Exactly. Anyway, I wouldn't do it. I'm sorry. I would sell a whole lot. Yeah. I wouldn't be like Chris McAllister, though.
I broke ankles and you still owe me $100,000.
I wouldn't
be like
Chris McAllister, though.
Chris McAllister?
Yeah.
Ravens?
Yeah, he lives at home with his parents.
Stop playing.
Yeah, he had to go to court. Wife is trying to get child support, spousal support. And he said he blew all his money and he lives at home.
I don't believe that one. I don't believe he's that broke.
Well,
it might be a
you can't go to court and just lie like that and think you're going to get away with it. So I'm not sure if he wanted that to get it. No, he didn't want it to get out. It was his public court record, though, which is why it came out.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure he's upset. He didn't do any interviews about his financial situation. But I can't imagine from mansions to the basement.
Interesting.
Big ticker.
Going down a level to the NCAA basketball. Hey, man, I'm just using the radio voice, man. I can't use the radio voice?
That's killing me.
It really? Oh, my fault, man. Going down to the level to NCAA basketball. How you like? Is that better for you? The super conference.
Are you doing your
The super conferences. Anyway, how do you feel about, like, I know I was pissed off earlier, but how do you feel about Syracuse and Pitt going to the ACC?
UConn, by the way, is going as well.
Are they really? UConn's going to the ACC too?
Yeah.
Yes.
You didn't know that?
No, I thought it was just Syracuse and Pitt.
Well, they're the only one, they've been accepted. Yeah. UConn hasn't been accepted yet, but UConn is getting ready to go. And yes. They need to find one other team to have the 16 teams. No, it's going to make basketball even more. What's the word I'm looking for? It's going to make basketball more enjoyable to watch in the ACC because I believe the value diminished once Virginia Tech and Miami were added. I'm sorry to say. But it's going to be amazing to see these teams play a Maryland and Syracuse. You rarely see something like that. A Duke. And Duke struggles against Big East teams. That's why I'm sure Coach K isn't happy. You see Duke occasionally play Pittsburgh, Georgetown, Syracuse every now and then, maybe like once on a neutral floor here. But now that's all going to change. You throw UConn in there. It's going to be exciting to watch. Now, for football, recruiting will change over the years.
But in terms, I mean, for me, for basketball, it's great. I mean, no, for Georgetown, being a Georgetown fan, it's great. I mean, you just knocked out three of the best teams in the Big East easily.
Well, Boeheim is not happy about
it. I'm sure he's not.
Boeheim said he's going to try his best to keep the rivalries alive between Villanova and Georgetown.
And that's the thing that kind of concerned me. We're used to playing Syracuse every year, twice a year, you know, one up in Verizon. And up at the Carrier Dome. So we're not going to get that anymore. But as a fan of the Hoyas, it definitely helps us have an opportunity to win the Big East. But for the ACC, that thing rocks. But for the ACC, Duke's dominance is done. Because Pitt in the regular season is one of the best teams in the regular season. So the dominance in the ACC is done. Syracuse. UConn.
In fairness, Duke usually plays a Big East team and loses in the tournament, which is postseason play, which is totally different. And then every, like I said, once a year, they'll play a St. John's or Georgetown. It may be different. They don't go to Cameron that often. Cameron is a whole different animal. I don't care who Duke has on their team. I don't care who the opposing team has. That crowd makes it a big difference.
Pitt plays them pretty well wherever. Pitt plays them very well.
Yeah, they haven't lost a non-conference game in Cameron, and I don't know how long.
They're going to have an opportunity to have a tough team go to Cameron. It's going to have an opportunity. UConn,
well, they have tough teams go to Cameron, but, it's going to be more tough teams. Yeah, UConn going, well-coached teams at that. You don't get too many legendary coaches stepping there outside of Roy Williams and Gary, maybe, if you consider that. Yeah, Gary had success in Cameron. He had success. A lot of ACC traditionalists didn't even like seeing North Carolina and Duke not being able to play twice a year all the time. Although they still play twice a year, but Maryland usually plays Duke once. Well, no, they've been playing Duke twice. They play North Carolina once sometimes. Everybody doesn't get to play twice as they used to.
When it's a big conference, you can't play certain teams twice.
And it's been like that. Now, with it growing, it's going to change. You're going to – now in basketball, I'm guessing – well, in basketball, do they go by the Coastal Division and such and such, or is it just all one – division in basketball? I'm not sure. In football, I know they have the Coastal Division and the Atlantic Division. I don't know about basketball. I'll have to check on that.
Coastal Division, I'm a little lost.
Yeah, you know how Big East is broke up into different divisions, the Big East is?
What you mean in basketball?
In football, the ACC is broken into the Coastal Division and Atlantic Division.
I apologize, you're correct.
All right, yeah, hit your radio voice now, man. But I won't. Oh, well, I guess my big question was, I heard Jay Billis on the radio predicting that with all these super conferences developing, the NCAA tournament is going to become the NIT. Now, if that happens, would that be smart? You have Butler going to the Final Four. That would eliminate that if the super conference start their own tournament. Now you got Butler going to the championship in the NCAA tournament, which is going to be meaningless. How is that going to affect television? There's a lot of questions.
I don't think it'll do it just because of that point. I think a lot of fans like seeing the mid majors have an opportunity to win it all. It's Cinderella. If you knock out Cinderella, what's the use of? You lose the sex appeal of the tournament. Honestly, well, everybody roots for the underdog.
John Thompson said the same thing, but Jay Billis' rebuttal to that was: remember when which you and I can't remember. Remember when the NIT was the NCAA tournament, and then came the NCAA tournament, and at the time, that's how everybody felt. Now, how is this going to work?
But see, back then, I mean, it's so much, especially in sports, there's, in today's game, or today's era of sports, there's so many social media, and there's so much exposure. There's an opportunity to get so many schools exposure. Back then, it was limited. You know what I mean? It was more Big East, ACC, whoever. It was limited, the major teams. Now it's everywhere. There's talent everywhere in college basketball. We both can agree. There's talent everywhere in all college sports, to be honest with you. And by not having certain people playing in a big dance where they can get exposure because they're not in a big market, they're not in the big conferences, I don't see that working. But I have heard the same argument, even for basketball and football, saying that this is a way to try to phase the NCAA out. For football, it's a way to get the playoff system. That's what they're doing, so they can get a playoff system. So they won't have to. They don't need the NCAA anymore.
I'm not at all advocating for it, but changes happen. Things evolve. Nobody's going to like it, in my opinion, because nobody wanted 96 teams, which would have been more mid-majors.
Yeah.
So what do you want? Are you for the mid-major? Are you not? I guess you still can be in the NCAA tournament the way it's set up now or formatted now. So we'll see what happens. I'm not a big fan either way. I don't. I'm one of those people who had a hard time giving up tapes going to CDs. So getting me to change is going to be difficult. I'm not going to lie to you.
You ain't the only one. I hate change.
Like I asked before, how would that impact TV? CBS and the Turner networks are now, what is that, a 30-year contract?
That change kind of hurt too. But yeah, they worked.
It worked?
Worked for me. Initially, I didn't like it.
It killed suspense for me.
I
liked when they would cut out of your game and go to what's hot. Yeah, so definitely. It killed some suspense for me. But at the same time, you would rather be able to just flip to another channel and watch it. It helped out, I guess, at the bars where they can show whatever game they feel like it without having to order it. But if they are locked into some sort of long-term deal, they're going to have essentially the NIT for years to come, which would suck.
That would suck. I'm sorry. Please don't do that. I like the NIT for the bums. It's pretty cool.
You mentioned in the past, but if you watch a documentary such as Black Magic, it'll show like a conference such as the MEAC. Nobody would play them back then when they had some of the best basketball players.
Yeah.
So exposure, all that argument, I hear you, but I don't necessarily buy it. But
it's okay. You don't have to buy it. I buy it.
That's all right. I mean, you're supposed to play
stock. It's like Blue Magic. I like it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, I stand by it.
All right.
It's a brand.
Moving on.
Sir.
This past weekend, Floyd Mayweather, Victor Ortiz. Everybody stayed up late, paid money to watch what turned out to be. You didn't watch it?
I ain't paying money.
Well, I didn't pay any money. I'm just, a lot of people did.
Oh, yes,
though.
They did.
I didn't pay any money.
Sorry for ya.
I went to somebody's house and watched it myself.
Exactly. Free
lunch. But before we get to that, the undercards, what was your thoughts about those?
I didn't get a chance to see the undercards, honestly. Oh, no, I didn't get a chance to study the undercards. I got there right in time for the main event.
Eric Morales looked impressive, but...
But he fought a bum, right?
How you going to call him a bum? You don't even know who he is.
Oh, you know what? I did see one. I take that back.
You saw the redhead dude?
Yeah, my man, Alvarez.
Alvarez, yeah. He didn't impress me, though.
He knocked him out.
He did, but... If he didn't knock him, I mean, actually, he was losing the fight up until that point.
He's that good, man. He's that good he can knock you
up
out.
Up until that point. I'm trying to look back because there was something called the pre-undercard that before the cover star on HBO, DirecTV has a channel called Audience, and they were showing some pre-undercard fights. And it was actually a good fight. A dude named Carson Jones. I don't watch a whole lot of boxing.
That's why I'm missing somebody. Jesus.
The dude named Carson Jones, he had a good fight against some guy named Wally, but it was intense. I can't pronounce his name.
They said Wally.
No, I said Wally or something like that. Wally. But it was an intense fight. Don't know the no. He was far from it. it was actually interesting, but the undercard was actually built up to be something that
it was a good undercard.
How you gonna say that? You didn't.
No, I mean in terms of names, it was a good undercard. If you get I was surprised. How can you get Morales and Alvarez on the same undercard?
Well, Kelly Pavlik was on the last undercard. Pacquiao mostly.
That's
so.
One. You having two good boxers in one undercard. I mean, on one.
Alvarez might be a little overrated.
No, he's not, man. You only saw one fight. How you gonna judge him off one? All
right, we know what happened in the fight. We know Mayweather was out classing Ortiz. We know how it ended. Let's give a quick. Let's give our quick analysis thoughts, whatever.
Our analysis, our in-depth analysis. Like I said, hands down, man down. That's all I'm saying.
He stole that from D-Way, huh?
Yeah, who D-Way said it to? I said it before
D-Way. He put that on Twitter.
I've been said that before.
He put that on Twitter.
I said it before even.
When?
I said that when I saw it.
You have no proof.
Well, obviously, yeah. Well, that's on Facebook. I've been writing that for a while. D-Way stole it from me. He called us on Twitter. That's what I'm talking about. That's how the urban sports scene rolls. He saw our tweet.
Most celebrities were pro Floyd. Most fans were pro Ortiz in this argument. HBO was clearly pro Ortiz.
Ortiz.
No,
I wish I had the clip of Larry Merchant. I need to get that. I'm gonna put it on.
I like how afterwards he said.
You see his face.
Even 50 years ago, I don't think I could have. But I would have sure tried.
Did you see the freeze frame they have of his face like this, like shocked, like his eyes like wide as a mug.
It wasn't the biggest rant I've ever seen. I think
worse.
James Toney going after your man, the one you smacked in the commercial. That was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jim Gray ran from him.
No.
Jim Gray ran. No. First, Jim Gray walked up trying to continue to get him to answer a question. After he said, don't be walking up with me, dog. And Jim he ran from James Toney. I thought that was hilarious.
Like, rant. Tyson's rant about eating people's children was bad.
Yeah, but he didn't scare. He wasn't going after the reporter.
Oh,
well,
I thought you meant like rant. All right, rant.
Not a rant. I mean, it's a lot of great rants out there.
Yeah, I thought you meant rant and rave. My bad.
The Bears are who we thought they were. I'm a man. I'm 40. It's a whole lot of good rants. But we were talking boxing. Anyway, what
we talking
about? I was mad initially. I thought Floyd was dirty, but I realized after coming to my senses, I just didn't like the way the fight ended. I didn't think he was gonna beat Floyd. Once I started seeing the way the fight was going. However, I like the Flurry, though. I do think he was much stronger than Floyd, though. And Floyd's lost
his stuff. Well, this is my thing. I think the reason why he tried to headbutt Floyd, because he already knew he was going to lose. I think it was an attempt, just an attempt to quit. And even the knockout punch, the so-called knockout punch, when he get not the first one, obviously stunned him. That was a good shot. Actually, the first shot was better than the actual hit that knocked him down. I just think that punch wasn't warranted to be out for a 10 count. That's my thing. I've seen worse. And he's gotten up by, if you've seen the fight when he fought Madonna, the dude who knocked out Ortiz. The fight that who knocked
that was
the
2 years
dude.
Ago?
Yeah, the punch that knocked him out. He got knocked down repeatedly. And Madonna has way more power than Floyd Mayweather. That punch should not have knocked him out for 10. Not 10. He could have got up. If he had got up and got knocked down again, I would say, okay, sure. But I just think he just flat out quit.
You think he's in it for the paycheck?
That, yeah. And he quit.
That's cool. So where does each fighter go from here?
He's waiting on Pac-Man. If Pac-Man beats Marquez, that's the fight that we all need to see. And I was telling people at my gym that if this fight doesn't occur... It's the truth. If this fight doesn't occur now, that is never going to happen. And you'll probably see a rematch between Floyd and Ortiz.
Floyd's not going to fight Ortiz, according to Don Rafael of ESPN.
If he doesn't get Pacquiao, who he's going to fight?
He's going to be done.
Berto's his friend. That's his boy. He won't fight Berto.
Yeah, and people say Berto wasn't even the same when he fought Ortiz. They said something was wrong with him that night. But anyway.
I hate excuses when you lose. It always sounds good. Man.
Well, this wasn't really a hot topic on sports talk radio on TV. Did the National Football League overshadow what was boxing's biggest event of the year, some say?
I don't think so. I think boxing did great. All the social media outlets out there, Floyd got a lot of attention.
The aftermath wasn't social media. I mean, starting a work week, it was a very small story on most shows. It was.
I think it depends.
What show did you listen to where that was the lead story?
To be honest with you, I don't listen.
So maybe you can't comment. It's a bad question for you.
Thank you, sir.
Speaking of the National Football League, we're going to start here in Washington talking football at this commercial break.
Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next. It's the big thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. Biz Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene, because you never know who's listening.
If you're checking us out on iTunes, the website is walio.podbean.com. Go check it out, Black and Green All Day. And if you're listening on Podbean, check out our podcast on iTunes. It's not a big difference, except for the colors and the picture. But either way, we are on Twitter and Facebook as well.
New picture coming out, coming soon. New picture coming soon.
All right, Washington Redskins, 2-0. First 2-0 start since 2007, is that right?
That's about right.
Last year they went to the playoffs, is that correct?
That year went to the playoffs in 07?
I thought they did. That was before Zorn, correct?
The year before Zorn? Yeah, went to playoffs that year.
So, hey, if history repeats itself, you guys will be straight. Now, my question is, should the Redskins be more excited about this season or the future with Kerrigan, Arakpo? You can build the defense around those two. Now, do you fit Landry into that mode? Is he still considered a young player into the future?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, all that's included. Yeah, definitely.
So what should the fan base be more excited about, the remainder of this season or beyond with the defense being built around these guys?
Beyond. They should be more excited about beyond. Like I said, on this team, our future quarterback isn't on this team. So you don't have to look at it as this in the present to be excited about this team. Now, in terms of what's going to happen down the road with Landry, Kerrigan, Arakpo, even Neal, even honestly Rocky McIntosh is still relatively young. There's a lot of positive things going on the defensive side of the ball that you should be happy for. Because if you look at what the Redskins are doing, you see a lot of speed on the field, man. And you see a lot of hunger.
And they finally have a decent pass rush. That's what excites me.
Yeah.
Now, even
Cofield's relatively young.
No doubt. How long is it before Helu gets traded? We should know very well that Mike Shanahan doesn't value running backs. He gave Portis to the Redskins. You don't think he's going to get traded?
Helu's not going to be traded. Hightower get traded before Helu.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know if his value will be as high. I like the change of pace, by the way.
Hightower will be traded before Helu. If you look, for me, when I look at Helu compared to Hightower, Helu has better vision hitting the holes than Hightower. Hightower has a one-track mind. It's more, all right, obviously, and that's what Shanahan likes to a certain extent, but it's one cut and go. If you look at Helu and compare with Hightower, a lot in that game, Hightower had a cutback lane, didn't take it because, like I said, he's one cut and go. Helu saw the cutback lane. And if you looked at what Shanahan had in Denver with Portis when Portis was younger, Portis always knew how to hit the cutback lane, which Hightower isn't that good at. So I see Helu as more of a valuable running back. But that's my opinion. A lot of people favor Hightower, obviously, because he's local and, you know, people are in love with him.
Some people who are not smart suggested a trade for trading Terrain or what's the boy from Penn State's name?
Royster.
Yeah.
Royster has no value.
Trade, exactly.
Terrain might have more value than Royster.
Terrain, I don't think he has value.
Like, what are they asking for? I guess that's the question.
Well, it's not what they're asking for. It's just getting more draft picks, even if it's a late draft.
You can trade Terrain and get something. I'm not saying like a second round pick, but you can get something.
Of course not. Maybe a last round pick. What is it? Seven? How many?
You
can
get him for like a fifth, sixth, in my opinion. Fifth to sixth.
Kansas City's in need of running backs right now, but they're not going to ask for Terrain.
But they're not going to ask for Terrain.
Heck no.
They're not good enough.
They're not good enough overall.
Overall.
All right, let's move on to Sunday. What's your overall thoughts of the game?
You mean this Sunday or?
Yeah.
Last Sunday. I was about to say, it's Sunday. I'm sorry. My apologies.
You're trying to give me a hard time today, man.
No, not at all, man.
What was your thoughts about the game against the Arizona Cardinals? The Arizona Cardinals, what were your thoughts about that game?
I was.
Like it's something new.
I know, man. This game, that game scared me to a certain extent. Rex, we couldn't score in the red zone, which seemed like a situation that occurred in prior years has now resurfaced. We couldn't score in the red zone. A special team kicking game was suspect due to the block on Gano. So there's some things to work out. I mean, I came into the game thinking that we would dominate the game, and we did dominate stats wise. We dominated the game, but the score we didn't. We were down for most of the game, most of the second half, excuse me. And the defense showed up. That's one thing I can say with this team, man. This defense is a solid defense, though. You know, D'Angelo Hall got burnt by Larry Fitzgerald for that bomb, but all in all, the defense is solid, and this team is going to be led by its defense. Rex Grossman, forever, you know, people want to bash his play and talk about his interceptions. I always say this, you know, you're going to throw interceptions if you're a good quarterback. It's going to happen. Interceptions will happen if you throw the ball 40 some odd times. If you're going to throw the ball 40 some odd times, you can throw picks. Don't get it wrong. If you're going to have a deep style offense, you're going to throw picks. It's going to happen. Phillip Rivers threw two picks yesterday on Sunday and fumbled the ball once. And he threw a pick in the red zone just like Rex.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just find the statement funny itself. Like, if you're a good quarterback, you're going to
throw picks.
No,
good quarterbacks
throw picks. Bad quarterbacks throw picks, too.
Aggressive quarterbacks are going to throw picks, man. That's just how it is. That's the name of the only quarterback that doesn't. The only quarterback that doesn't throw picks because he's not as aggressive is Brady. Brady's not an aggressive quarterback. He knows how to get people in the right places. He won't fit windows like other quarterbacks will. He won't take risks.
He'll check down. And if you're not going to knock Brett Favre throwing the most interception in history because he takes so many risks, hey, I hear you. You got to consider the history of this team, especially since Snyder's on the ball club. You're going to have people who are going to complain if Rex throws interception. Like I said, people think his screen passes are a pick six waiting to happen because he's a short, stubby dude.
hey, man. People are going to hate. Like I said, I don't care. Like, Rex isn't the future quarterback for the Washington Redskins, but he has played well. And for people, like, for fans to really dissect this play because they favor John Beck, who's a bum, go fly a kite.
All right, moving on. Prior to the game, people envisioning the Redskins being 1-1 or 2-0 going into Dallas say if we lose to Dallas on the road, not a big deal. Now that they have so many injuries, if you lose to Dallas, it is a disappointment. People are expecting 3-0. Are we hoping for injuries going into Dallas, or do you hope that they're at full strength, meaning Dez Bryant and Tony Romo play this game?
As a Skins fan, I just want to win the game. I don't care if you're hurt or whatever, honestly. We're not in full strength either. Jarvis Jenkins would have been our starting DN. Laron Landry is missing. We're playing with Reed Dowdy, who in the first game, the Giants took advantage of that whole situation. We're missing players too. So the whole time, I don't really care about injuries. Injuries are part of the game.
That might be true, but it's not apples to apples.
Laron Landry's one of the, when he played last year, was probably the defensive MVP before he got hurt. So I don't.
Yeah, but he doesn't mean he's an impact player. He doesn't mean what Tony Romo means to the Cowboys.
He did to our defense. He's that much better for our defense.
Tony Romo makes or breaks whether they win games or not. Did you see when Kitna went in on Sunday? What happened?
I know last year when Kitna was playing, they won a lot of games.
Laron Landry without him,
we sucked last year. Our defense sucked without Laron last year. Even worse than what it was. It wasn't even worse.
The defense was good with Laron.
It was better with Laron. It's the truth.
In what way?
We stopped the run. Tackling was better. And even for all the double moves, Laron got back there as an intimidator.
I think Lance Fletcher is the most important player.
If anybody say that Laron Landry isn't important to that defense,
I didn't say he wasn't. I'm just in comparison to Romo being important to the Cowboys.
If I use your point.
Period. A starting quarterback is more important than any safety.
If I took your point for what it's worth, last year when they had Kitten as the starting quarterback, when Jason Garrett took over, they were finished over 500. And that's for John Kitna. Who to a certain extent, a lot of players in the locker room were backing Kitna more than they backed Romo.
Not really.
To a certain extent, there were players who came out and said it.
Roy Williams.
Marcellus Bennett, whatever.
Bennett, yeah, he has a gripe with
I'm just telling you.
He has a gripe with Romo because he locks in on Witten.
But I'm saying there were players out there who stated it. That's all I'm saying. There's
an overall consensus. Now, you don't listen to talk radio, correct?
No, there's an overall consensus
from the fans and on talk radio that London Fletcher is the most important
person
because
he's a spirited individual. He's a middle linebacker. He's quarterback of the defense. It's true.
And Tony Romo is a quarterback of the offense.
But I already made my point with the kidney. So you say thanks. I can say thanks right back at you. It doesn't matter. What the hell?
It's not an argument. Dez Bryant is
What has Dez Bryant done yet?
Huh?
No.
I'm not comparing him to Landry. I'm just saying him and Romo mean a lot to that offense, in my opinion.
To be honest with you,
going forward, they prepared to have the what? They don't. What are you talking?
The more valuable person missing out the whole situation more is Miles Austin. Miles Austin won't play. Dez Bryant will play. He'll try to suit up and play.
Well, see, his toughness is in question. That's the thing.
Who?
A lot of people are questioning.
Romo's going to play.
No, not Romo. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a lot of people questioning Dez Bryant's toughness and saying he doesn't sometimes want to push through injuries that he probably could. That's the thing. That's why he might start, but he might not finish. That's the key.
But it'll
be an ongoing debate. If you think Romo is less important than LeRon Landry, then that's your opinion.
That's hilarious to me. I think LeRon Landry just as important, and I think it's hilarious to people for anybody to undermine LeRon Landry, a person who ever before he got hurt last year was overall a majority was saying LeRon Landry was defensive MVP.
LeRon Landry played great. He was a Pro Bowler.
A defensive MVP level.
If he didn't get hurt. But now Romo, he got hurt, week one, week two?
Mm-hmm.
Kidna struggled until Jason Kerr began to coach. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah,
so you can't really say that they did well because of Kidna. Just saying. So we'll see.
But he was the quarterback.
And look at the schedule
in
the year. Look at the schedule
right?
in the year.
Who's the coach
too.
Now?
Huh?
Who's coach?
We'll see how he does.
He played well with Garrett.
Did he play well this weekend with Garrett? John Kidner.
He
came into his
honestly,
quick two picks.
Romo threw picks too before he came. Huh? Romo was throwing picks too.
No,
he just
but
had the last drive.
You cannot compare the stats.
Romo was throwing picks too.
Okay, look at the stats.
I will.
And look what he played in the last year too.
They played San Fran. We're talking, man, get out of here, man. We're talking about Romo and San Fran. You hyping it like it's something big.
I guarantee if you did a poll on Twitter and somebody said, who's more important? Is Romo more important than Cowboys or LeRon Landry more important than Redskins? Bam. And y'all winning without Landry. What's that mean?
We went out Landry. But
this year.
We got exposed.
But y'all 2-0. You're 2-0.
We got exposed. We got exposed. Don't get twisted. We got exposed.
I think Reed taking too much of a beating around.
No, Reed doesn't take a beating. Reed is getting what he deserves. We got exposed.
You got a prediction for this game?
Excuse me. I'm looking up for a stat.
You got a prediction for the game, man?
I'm progression, man. That's all I talk about with the Redskins, man. I don't predict nothing. It's progression. The Redskins
fans are the most cautious.
No, not really. Redskins fans are the most ignorant, dumb fans in the world.
No, as far as predicting how a season's going to go.
When does that start? This year?
I'm not expecting anything major. I mean, now when
that's
the
because we have low expectations.
And then it changes though in the preseason. Oh, a lot of the fan base, 10-6 now.
The Redskins fans are the same.
The consensus was 6-10,
you know,
and it jumped to 10-6.
And this is my issue, honestly, about because this is my issue of mine. Anytime anybody else likes a team outside of this area. Like the Cowboys or the Giants or yours, or Atlanta or the Eagles, they speak of Redskin fans because you know they're in this area. But I can guarantee you that in Atlanta, the Atlanta fans talk the same way. I can guarantee you the Eagles fans talk the same.
But
the Eagles fans talk the same way. They might be worse. The Giants talk this. The Giants fans talk the same way. It's just that you're in this area. You can
so
say Redskins fans.
So that's what we can speak to, right?
No, but my point is all. My point is it's all fans. Don't just say Redskins fans. It's all fans. So when you state fans,
if there's optimism around here, it's different from an optimism in New England. It is. Bottom line.
Oh, New England is a different organization. It's a different organization. No.
You said it's all.
No, you said all.
95%.
95%. Don't be trying to get me. It's 95%.
No, you said all.
No, 95%. I could change my statement. It's 95%.
you just don't like being wrong, though.
No, I'm not wrong. I'm right.
Hey, we come back from commercial break. We're going to continue this NFC East discussion. Everybody's banged up right now. Eagles, Giants. Redskins might have a chance. Maybe Rex was right.
Urban Sports Scene.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm gonna smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, alright?
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Alright, we're back. It's been a fun show so far.
Yeah.
A lot of arguing. So once we got to the racing, the show livened up. At first, it was kind of like,
it was like blah, blah, blah.
Outside of Wally's quote unquote radio voice or whatever.
Yeah, my radio voice is like
Wally wanted to make a prediction.
Yeah, Redskins will win the game, and the score will be 24-17.
John Kitna and Rex Grossman in primetime. The potential for that. Romo.
Oh, Romo's gonna play.
It's not guaranteed.
He's gonna play.
Because with a collapsed lung, a doctor came out today and said he probably shouldn't play with a collapsed lung. You know, more likely.
But listen, I like Romo actually. He's actually a Cowboy I actually do respect. But I think if Romo plays this game, he'll be stupid. Because this Redskins defense is way more aggressive than any Redskins defense he's ever had to play against. And they will take shots at him.
Well, whatever. Cowboys, their injuries are notable. Miles Austin, we just mentioned a few. Also on defense, Terrence Newman, is he going to play? Probably.
He hasn't played the whole season.
Yeah, but I mean, is he going to play this week?
He should.
Michael Jenkins.
He'll probably play, right?
Is that his name?
It's Michael Jenkins.
Oh, it is Michael. Yeah, okay, making sure I'm not mixing up my man.
I think it's Michael Jenkins.
Whatever, Jenkins. There you go. Their injuries are mounting. Philly now. I was asking people earlier, would Philly prefer Mike Vick to be hurt now versus late on in the season? You might want Vick down the stretch. I don't know. The way he plays, though, he's always at risk. It's also a risk that his concussion issues could linger on, like Sidney Crosby and Clint Portis. They've had the ones that lingered on all season to the point where the doctors advised him not to play. Who knows? Philly's third string will look good. Is this Vince time to shine? Kafka, I think is his name. But he came in. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, you know better than I fell asleep.
Yeah, well, he came in. I think he started 7 of 8. That wasn't his final numbers.
No, the only one I saw was the drive where he kicked the field goal. When he was at where he started for Michael Vick. Like, as soon as Michael Vick got hurt, he came in the game. I think they were in the red zone, and
they won the field goal.
They get a field goal and got a touchdown one?
They didn't score after Michael Vick left.
Oh, he didn't score. You're right. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was the only time I saw
it. It's just that if
Michael Vick scored 20, how much they scored?
31 with Mike Vick in the game.
He had 31? I thought he had 24.
No.
I remember I saw it wrong. Dang. Mike Vick's a beast. Dang, Mike.
No.
That was 24.
No.
Dude,
it was 24. Yeah. He came in and threw a touchdown to Macklin.
It was a short one.
Yeah, because Michael Vick got hurt in the red zone.
Yeah,
it was down low.
That's
all
I'm saying.
Yeah. So you fell asleep?
I fell asleep.
Oh, you saw the highlight of that?
No, I said highlight. I saw like that was a 20. They were there, and I fell asleep.
Well, I think the Giants probably with their injury problems too. Everybody's injured. The Big East, not the Big East, the NFL, the NFC East. Good gosh,
man, doesn't look the Big East. It's the Big East of the NFL.
The NFC East doesn't look as strong right now because of this.
Well, this
and now I think the Giants are on equal playing field with everybody. First, they look like the banged up scrubs of the division.
Well,
opinions have changed after 2 weeks.
Well, I don't think that the Giants have that who they're missing is like that severe.
Justin Tuck.
No, I think he's back. One. He came. He played, but he ain't back. He's back now.
OC.
Oh, that Pierre Paul is better. Pierre Paul is better.
Well, yeah, he's been balling.
Yeah, he's better. The only people that I think,
All teams.
Yeah.
Better.
He's better. But what's his name? The cornerback, Terrell Thomas. They missed Terrell Thomas, and their first round draft pick, Prince. They're missing him too as well. But other than that, I think Giants are in good shape. They're not the worst. They can play with Ross and they can play with Webster. They're good enough. The Cowboys, their injuries.
Hakeem Nicks is banged up.
Yeah, but he's going to play. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of players banged up.
You're always going to be banged up. Man. Exactly. So I'm just mentioning it. Mm-hmm. The Giants may be on even playing field. We'll see. They got Philly this week.
The Eagles.
They got to feel good about it. You got, I don't care what you say. Vince Young hasn't been hasn't been determined yet. No, this might be Vince Young's time to shine. That's the question I ask.
Yeah.
It could be a time to redeem his career. Yeah. You never know. I think with Marty Morningweg is supposed to be this
quarterback guru.
Yeah. Why can't he turn around Vince Young's career? Vince Young has the ability. Yeah. It's just he's ignorant. I don't like this throwing motion. I hate it. But could Vince Young win some games? Yeah, absolutely. It's yet to be seen.
It's yet to be seen. He's done it. What do you mean it's yet to be seen? He's done it. Look at the track record. Look at the record itself. What is his career record?
That's why he's in Philly now.
He's in Philly because he's had suicidal thoughts. That's why he's in Philly.
Well, what's the state of the NFC East right now? Is it the strongest division in football?
No, the strongest division in football is the NFC North. You got the Bears, you got the Lions, you got the Packers, and whoever's after the Vikings. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Vikings. The Vikings are probably your worst team, and they can beat you on any given Sunday, just like the movie. So I would have to, that's the toughest division in the NFL.
I don't know. Buffalo's looking awfully good this year.
They play no defense. You watched that game?
Neither do the Patriots.
The Patriots play no defense.
No.
Hey, shout out to you, Lee, man, but your squad plays no
31st ranked defense. We're jumping ahead. So, Eagles, they were banged up against Atlanta. I'll save my comments for last. Obviously, I'm a Falcons fan, so you didn't even watch the whole game.
Well, I don't know
what
talk,
you can really draw from it, though.
I couldn't tell you what I draw from the point of the game I saw. The Eagles look like a very strong team. I'm very impressed with the Eagles. They had some bonehead mistakes, obviously, and the Falcons defensive line contributed to that. Abraham was everywhere in that game. From what I saw, Abraham was everywhere. Michael Vick continues to impress me. I think in that stage, but a lot was going on. He's still playing at a high level. I'm still concerned with Matt Ryan. A little bit, even though I feel like I said, having all those weapons to a certain extent can be a detriment to what you want to do as a football team. And it's not more, I won't put it on Matt Ryan, but more on fault of the coaching staff, because when you have all those weapons, you tend to kind of forget about what got you to the dance, and that's Michael Turner. Michael Turner's gotten you to the dance. And when you have a Julio Jones, when you have a Roddy White, when you have a Tony Gonzalez, and you have a Michael Turner, it's not a lot of balls to go around. And I think, you know, that could be a situation for him. But all in all, you know, Atlanta played a strong game. Michael Turner played well. For what I saw, he played well. Tony Gonzalez, he looked like, you know, the old Tony Gonzalez. And a lot of people thought his play would fall off. Tony Gonzalez showed the world that he's still one of the best tight ends in football. So that's for what I saw.
I was happy with the defensive line. Overall, Atlanta has a lot of new pieces in place. It's going to take time. 2 weeks, I'm actually excited about the near future, because Green Bay kind of started off slow, in my opinion, last year. And you see they turned it on. The Giants did that a few years back. I'm looking for the same type of thing out of the Falcons. Matt Ryan has been overrated. He's won a lot of games early on in his career, and he's gotten some expectations, maybe not deservingly. But I guess you have to do that when you win a lot of games as a young team. I mean, as a young quarterback starting from a rookie with that franchise, which has a history of losing. Vic almost destroyed it. So
no, so I had a question for you. You know, this is overblown and everything, but it's been said often. But who would you rather have as an Atlanta fan? This current Michael Vick or Matt Ryan? Or the current Matt Ryan? Michael Vick, not the old Mike. The current Michael Vick.
I'm going to roll with Matt Ryan only because I believe he's going to be more durable in the long run. Michael Vick, I know he's a different player now, but he's not that much different. I know he studies a little bit more. He still, to me, has a hard time reading defenses. He still kind of plays a herky-jerky kind of style, running around. But he's much smarter. He's always been accurate. I never understood people. I'm not the biggest fan of seeing him play from the pocket. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because
that's how
he got hurt. He has some running lanes against us, and I mean against the Falcons, and I'm like, wow.
Well,
he should have took off, but
the coaches made him stay. They made him stay.
Well, yeah, that's what they're and a lot of Philly fans actually like that. They want him to be this pocket passer, but let the man be who he is. Pierre Jerry. I'm glad to see him contribute. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I was glad to see Lawrence Sidberry get in the game. I'm glad to see some of the younger pieces. Ray Edwards is going to be great against the run as the season goes on. I think our next big test, we got Tampa this week. Well, the Falcons, though. I got to stop saying we.
You can say we. You're a fan.
I'm a fan, but that's
not
we.
Don't listen to Will, man.
Tampa coming up. No, that's how I feel. It's not about Will. Week five, the Packers is going to be a big test. Now, it's in the Georgia Dome. I think that's a slight disadvantage. Last year, the Falcons beat the Packers in the Georgia Dome in the regular season. It's not a big deal. It's going to be a test, but you saw how Carolina played with them, which is the next game I want to get to. I guess I'm not giving too much more thought into that game, although I don't like – once the Falcons were up 21-10, I said, all right, this is a good lead. One more stop, get a score. I think I know Vic is explosive. I know DeSean Jackson didn't even do much. Atlanta was up 21-10.
Okay.
It was 14-10 halftime. We came straight out.
That's right.
So I didn't like how the lead, and Philly ran off 21 straight. And I'm like, see, that can't happen. Brent Grimes, a lot of people have a lot of high expectations for him. Still not there yet. Dante Robinson got to chill with some of those hits.
That's what I want to ask you about. What do you think about that hit?
Same thing he did in Philly last year.
I know, man.
But
he wasn't a hitter like that for the Texans. He really wasn't like he wasn't that kind of player.
He didn't come on TV, that's why.
Yeah, you're right.
but like I said, I like the Falcons going forward. No training camp really. Well, not no training camp, but no mini camps. 2 weeks in, the Falcons are going to be a force to be reckoned with if they can make the playoffs. We'll see if they can stay healthy. The offensive line looks small compared to Philly's defensive line. They got manhandled. That's an area of concern. Everybody's going to be injured down the stretch. Matt Ryan is not used to playing under that type of pressure. Evidently, in Chicago week one, and there in week two, he struggled when he was getting hit.
Yeah, but you mentioned the killer Cam against the Packers. Who are your next? Who's going to probably be your team of you're playing against week five? Killer Cam was impressive again, even though he threw three picks.
It's not week five. We got the Packers week
Packers,
five.
Yeah, the Packers. I'm saying the Packers week five. I'm talking about Killer Cam. So, I mean, he was impressive against the Packers. Only in his three interceptions. I still have a problem how Carolina refuses to run the ball and put so much pressure.
Stole it from
me. Pressure on Cam Newton to try to win games. It'd be easier for him to easier for Cam Newton to produce and put up good numbers and even a high QB rating if they would run the ball more. I mean, D'Angelo Williams, I think, had maybe less than 10 carries in this game. Jonathan Stewart had about over 100 yards receiving, but you need smash and dash to run the ball. They need to run the ball about 30 some odd times for this team to really be competitive. I mean, whatever they're competitive, but to really win games, because they're losing games because they're letting Cam Newton do it all.
I totally agree. It's no point of adding anything to that. D'Angelo Williams is killing fantasy squads too, by the way.
Yeah, because he's. But you would think, no, you're killing my squad, damn it. 30, I mean, you paid the man $30 million guaranteed, and you're not running him? Come on now. That's bad business.
Yeah, it's amazing. Ron Rivera, has he established an identity as a coach?
No, they established that we're going to get Cam Newton off. That's what they've – I mean, and I'm happy for Steve Smith. I am happy for Steve Smith. That's one person I'm very happy for. Because I think a lot of people forgot about Steve Smith, not putting him up there in the top 10 wide receivers. He's still one of the best wide receivers, top five. I'll put him for top five wide receivers in the game.
You think the Packers somewhat underestimated the Panthers?
Though? Well, I think Aaron Rodgers was kind of arrogant with it.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I was going to mention, how he's growing into this arrogant quarterback. Is that going to hurt the team going forward?
Yeah.
The team's progress, not him, because he'll still get his numbers probably, but will they win with the way this cocky attitude he's starting to develop?
No, because – He hasn't been there before in terms of winning multiple championships. He's won one. So he has this arrogance thing, and now everybody has hyped his head up saying he's the next big quarterback. No, he's the best quarterback in the NFL, the best pure passer. Now, this is before Tom Brady started doing his thing, but when the season started, before the season started, and definitely on that the opening game of the season, Aaron Rodgers was pegged as the best quarterback, better than Peyton Manning before we even heard about Peyton's injury, before Tom Brady even stepped on the field, Phillip Rivers, anybody, Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback going. And now you could tell that it has gotten to him. And now you could tell him, you could see him on the sideline, like you said, we were talking earlier.
Facial expression.
His facial expression. When Cam Newton was like driving, scoring points and whatever, Aaron Rodgers was like, I got this. Like, this dude ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, I think I saw a little bit of that last year in the playoffs, and that's where it started. And I guess, but what is his payday going to look like? I want to see how his agent handles the whole negotiations. Is he going to expect to get paid like Peyton and... Yeah.
Of course. He's going to ask for all that. I mean, if you get hyped, to me, if you get hyped like he's getting hyped, when everybody was saying, like, he's the best passer in the game, it's going to happen. He's going to get Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady money.
Quick note to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. You got to prepare for Cam Newton now. You had a vacation with Vic being out the NFC South. Sorry, it's back. You got to prepare for Cam Newton now. The boy looks ready. Moving on, Matthew Stafford. Now, he seems like a humble kid, and he's taking kind of a similar path Aaron Rodgers took, except he's had more responsibility on him. He's been injured more often.
He has more tribulation.
He has a lot more going on. Totally different franchise with not the history that...
He's been through some stuff.
But they obviously beat the heck out of the Kansas City Chiefs. Have the Lions arrived officially?
Well, the Lions have definitely arrived. I think he, in his own way, has his own little arrogance to him. But it's different. It's not like I'm better than you, but it's more of a swagger saying that he believes in his ability. It's not like saying that I'm better than you. It's like more of a he believes in his ability. Because I remember I watched the Redskin game when he beat us, and he had a bunch of arrogance in that game. That's what started.
I don't get that from him for whatever reason.
He was hopping, jumping.
Well, that's against the squad.
I know
nobody can see you, man.
I know. hold on. Let me describe myself. I'm bobbing my head like up and down. This is what Matthew Stafford was doing. He's bobbing his head up and down, saying like, "I'm the man."
What's wrong with celebrating?
He's like, huh?
What's wrong with celebrating?
After like a 20-yard pass, you ain't throwing a touchdown. Stop getting hyped.
Dude, when you've been through what Detroit Lions have been through, you got to get your team excited. Come on now.
I am happy. You know why?
John Wall and them do that for the Wizards when they win their 18th game of the season.
Hey, that's dumb. 18.
It's the same thing.
We'll be happy that Thanksgiving Day we're going to have a game that means something.
Absolutely. I totally agree. The Detroit Lions, what's wrong with the Chiefs?
They suck. I've said that.
I know, but what's wrong with them? We know they
got lucky last year. You can't win games on special teams forever. And Dwayne Bowe saving your sorry quarterback like on a 5-yard pass and scoring touchdowns. You have to drive the ball. You have to drive the field and score real touchdowns. You can't have Jamal Charles run the ball for 100 yards on a 50-yard play every time. You're going to be exposed. Eventually, your defense is going to stop that. And your special teams can't score every point for you. And your defense can't score points for you.
All right, move along.
They were exposed by the Ravens. Now they're done.
Moving along.
Where's Denny Green at?
You had the Chargers and the Patriots. Did the Chargers give that game away? Honestly, they looked like they had many opportunities to actually
win. Mike Tolbert's fat ass gave it away.
No, he did. It was actually closer than what it looked like on the final scoreboard.
This is what annoyed me. I guess it goes back to Norv being Norv. Ryan Matthews was balling. And he consistently gave the ball to the fat boy, who didn't really do that much, but fumbled the game away, and then was pissed off when he saw New England.
It's the fantasy guru.
And when he saw New England score a touchdown, he was pissed. And he threw his helmet down. It's your fault. Next time, play the hot hand. You play the hot hand any other time. When Tolbert's out playing Ryan Matthews, you play Tolbert.
What's wrong with your boy Ocho Cinco?
Oh, that's just a situation. Oh, we talked about that last week. But
all right. Well, moving on.
You want to talk about it some more?
Peter King picked the Falcons and Chargers in the Super Bowl. Right now, his picks are taking a beating out there.
Only 1-1.
You know what?
I mean, they're both 1-1.
I know, but the Chargers.
A little premature. Aren't we?
Oh yeah, but that's the same thing I was thinking. But I actually like it. Beat up the Falcons, please. Let them know that they suck and they're not going to be good.
Who beat up the Falcons?
Well, I'm gonna speak just to what I was hearing today. Especially on Colin Cowherd's show, he had Peter King on. He's like, look, your Super Bowl picks don't look too good. The Patriots beat the heck out your Chargers. They didn't look good. They didn't look good week one against Minnesota. You got the Falcons who didn't look good against the Bears. And then the Eagles look better than the Falcons week two. If Michael Vick doesn't get hurt, the Falcons don't win that game. How do you feel about these picks? So I'm sitting there thinking, he's like, I'm receiving a ton of emails, blah, 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 blah. All right, that's the consensus in my opinion. That's millions of people who listen to The Hurt. I'm going with that. I'm actually happy for it. I like it. I want people not picking the Falcons. Great. Slam Peter King for it. He'll look better in the end. But is it warranted, though? After 2 weeks, this is such a what have you done for me lately league. It's amazing.
It's like I said, like I tell Skins fans, pump your brakes. It's only two games. It's all about progression. Atlanta's only – like Matt Ryan has new toys. He has to get used to and to play with it. The Chargers always start slow.
One new receiver.
The Chargers always start slow. So no, I'm not even worried about it. Actually, 1-1 is good for the Chargers. Let's be real. 1-1 is good for the Chargers. And usually to me, when they play the Patriots, and when they play around this time, the Patriots always blow them out. They weren't blown out this game. They were competitive.
Let me tell you what's gonna happen. If the Chargers go to Super Bowl, I think they're going to go to the Ravens to get there.
They can go to the Ravens.
Because, well, see, that's what I'm thinking. The Ravens might take care of the Patriots.
They can, because they blitz. They're aggressive. The Jets can take care of the Patriots.
You're going to have the Houston Texans in the playoffs over Indianapolis
this year, more than likely. Which sucks.
A couple weeks ago, you said the Colts would be in it.
That's before Peyton Manning's injury.
No, you.
This is before Peyton Manning's injury.
You knew he was injured.
No, I didn't know he was going to come back.
Yeah, exactly. About week one or two.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you. I'll let you on the hook. I'll let you on the hook.
You're the man now. Don't try to.
There's a lot of surprises in the NFL this year, but when we come back, we'll make our picks. We want to start recording our records this week, hoping Will was going to be here. We can still take our picks of the four biggest games and also give our fantasy sits and starts at the commercial.
Our sports thing.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more healthy moments.
You can listen to us on the Apple Juice Radio Show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach. Sorry I wasn't on the show last Sunday. It was a football season. Oh, it sucks. Redskins kind of took all my energy out. Didn't have a chance to watch the game. I mean, to be on the show. It's the Atlanta game, too. The Atlanta game kind of screwed
watch
it up, too.
Watch the game.
Actually.
So, I didn't have a chance to watch the game.
The game. Triple H, the game. Never mind.
All right, let's make our picks for this week. Buffalo, New England. I know it sounds funny, but Buffalo is playing amazing football.
Yeah. New England.
I'm taking New England. Plus the points.
Yes.
Houston versus Saints. This is a toss up. This is the Texans' chance to put themselves on the map.
It's in New Orleans,
Mike,
right?
Fish did pass.
Yeah, he did fish bushes on the map. You know what I'm saying?
All right, well,
I mean, this would be the great chance for Will to use that little Houston, New Orleans dialogue, man.
Houston Saints.
I'm gonna go with the Texans. I like their defense. Mario Williams is gonna create havoc. So 3-4.
I'm going Houston as well. Green Bay at Chicago.
We didn't talk about this, but we should though. Our condolences go out to Brian Urlacher and his family. Loss of his mother. I'm surprised he played against the Saints, but I'm gonna go with them. I'm gonna go with Brian Urlacher. I think it's a hard story, so I'm gonna go with Brian Urlacher and the Chicago Bears.
I am going to take the Packers of Green Bay.
It's all good.
And last game, Oakland and the Jets. Laugh if you want, but the Jets offense is not that good. I'm sorry to say.
It's not. Oakland's defense looks good.
Oakland's defense is much better. So, Jason Campbell at home.
97 rating since being a starter.
At home.
Yeah.
Darren McFadden looking pretty good.
And the rookie they got named Moore looking all right, too. I think he might have a wide receiver who can catch the ball. Yeah, look at I'm going with Oakland. Going with Oakland, man. I'm going with Jason Campbell. Former Washington Redskins quarterback.
I'm going to take the Raiders as well.
The Raiders.
So, me and you, the only game we disagree on is the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears.
Midway Madness. You always. That's for y'all. Midway Madness.
You always like the matchup of the Bears versus the Packers.
Yeah.
Even last year in the playoffs, you talked a bunch of trash.
Yeah. So
the Packers
and I was right.
Lose,
I was
and,
right.
The Packers were going to win a Super Bowl.
And I was right one time, too. But they got the match for one, so does it really matter?
Moving on to fantasy football. we're gonna make our picks for fantasy football, too. My advice has been great. I listened to Wiley, and I drafted Colston, and it hasn't worked out. No, actually, you know what? I say that jokingly because the fantasy show that you and I had, the advice was actually about 90% accurate.
It was on point.
It really was. So take these picks. And definitely take them into consideration.
Yeah, we're betting
the
dude.
I am going to start Stevie Johnson against the 31st ranked New England Patriots defense.
Lee, shut that dude down, man. Stevie Johnson. Shut him down.
He's had a good season so far.
Yeah, he had a really good season. I ain't going to lie. He's had a good season.
Just 2 weeks in?
Yeah.
All right, who you starting?
Oh, I'm starting killer Cam Newton against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We saw, you know, his stats. They're Jacksonville. They're a bad team. The secondary is porous. There's a chance for some play action. Hopefully, they'll run the ball more. But Cam Newton will throw for about 300 yards. I think he's a safe play. I don't think a lot of people have started Cam Newton to this point. They haven't really started him. So I think there's an opportunity to start him. Don't be scared. Start Cam Newton.
I'm sitting Matt Forte. I'm sitting Matt against Green Bay. I'm going to sit him. The Green Bay Packers typically have done well against the run as of recent. Jay Cutler should have the opportunity to throw the ball. Even though, you know what, he does catch out the backfield, which makes his fantasy value much more like a Ray Rice or better than the average running back. But I'm going to say sit Matt Forte this week.
Yeah, I'm going to bench Mike Tolbert after that porous game.
Everybody's not going to start Mike Tolbert.
Hey, I'm saying at that point, if you have him on your roster and you like you want to start him in at that flex position, you should bench him. I think after what Ryan Matthews showed against the Patriots, he can catch the ball out the backfield. He can run between the tackles. I think North Turner is leaning towards Ryan Matthews. So beware, and all you Ryan Matthews, all the individuals who have Ryan Matthews on their roster, play Ryan Matthews. But Tolbert, no.
My sleeper is Darren McFadden. I believe at home against the Jets defense, It's an obvious mismatch, I guess, when you think about the Jets, Rex Ryan and all. But Darren McFadden at home is going to have a good game.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews is my sleeper. Actually, I didn't use him up, but that was my sleeper. Ryan Matthews was my sleeper.
That's your sleeper and bench Tolbert.
Yeah. Yes. That was
Who did the Jets play last week?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know what? I'm having a thought. I'm thinking of an interesting way we could actually use our blog site.
You mean a blog site? Or
our blog site.
You know, the one with
Blogspot.
Oh, Blogspot?
Where the last blog was almost a year ago that I posted.
Yeah.
We could post our picks up there, post our fantasy picks.
We should.
It's just a way to keep
something.
It, do something
with it. Yeah, man, you ain't lying. Because that site has potential.
And, you know, we're trying to increase our following. That's the way to do it. We went out to Dave and Buster's a while back. We had a nice line outside. But now we trying to get Chipotle lines coming to see us whenever we appear in public.
Dave Buster's.
Yeah, that was for Jew's little wedding thing. You know
yeah, you're right.
So that was our Urban Sports Scene party.
Yeah, I guess so. Whoop-dee-doo.
Oh, exactly. I'm just saying, we had a nice little line that people came to see us. But
we did. Yeah.
We want Chipotle lines.
So we do.
They're going out the door
and
all day.
Fast and quick. Easy.
And if you can tweet the show, you can find a Chipotle that doesn't have a long line. That would be sweet. Yeah. That kills my motivation.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, during lunch is the worst.
I wouldn't even try to go during lunch.
You don't?
I take lunch around 1:45. I think that's when it dies down.
That's the
down.
Best time?
Now, there's one Chipotle where I where I work, close to a hospital that I won't name.
go ahead. go ahead. That's, there you go. There you go. That's a transition right there.
Nobody has any idea what I'm talking about. It's Chipotle that around 2 o'clock, you can walk straight up to the counter. It's crazy.
Really?
Yep.
There is no...
Because it's two within the same vicinity.
And where I work in Rockville or Bethesda, it doesn't work that way. They're all crowded. And then I go to about three. I go to three of them.
Yeah, well, where I live, that one is just sick, man. I hate it. You can't even get in there on a Sunday afternoon.
Just trying to get some eat right before football games. I know. I hear you.
It's tough.
The ones I just hate, you know, you see the line and it's already outside and you're like, yeah, let me go to Checkers. Give me some fries.
I don't know about that.
Get them Checkers fries. That's the retro me, actually.
Is it worth the wait, though? Chipotle, when you actually do it, because they all days.
All right, their lines move extra fast. They are the fastest line, I feel like. In terms of a crowded line, it's the fastest line. My gauge is if it's like a line, but it's like a halfway line, that I can deal with it. If it makes any sense. But if it's that line is outside or curling around, I'm going to another Chipotle's. Matter of fact, I'll try.
So you're
going to
drive to another Chipotle?
Yes, I would do that. I'm crazy.
I don't know about all that.
No, because there's always going to be one in a 5-mile radius. I swear. It feels like.
Well, they're building a new one where I live, so it'll make two within a mile radius. So we'll see if that works. I don't know how we got started on this discussion. But let's take a break. We're going to end the show out. We'll talk college football. The super conferences, we discussed that in regards to basketball, but now we're going to talk about how it affects college football potentially. Is this going to make the ACC better in football? Maybe in the future. How does this impact Maryland, who is our local school? We can talk about the West Virginia game from last week and how West Virginia has LSU coming in. Which is, I thought they would look past Maryland. I was actually impressed with them. And then the Red Sox collapse, MLB heading into the playoffs, Urban Sports Team.
Yeah, you already said this. I'm not going to say it.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge, when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WCStillerFan. The show is hosted by West Coast Stillerfan and who else? That's the
Doc
question.
Hancock.
Yeah, Doc Hancock and maybe somebody from the urban sports scene every once in a while. Once every month, supposedly.
So what are we talking about now?
We're talking about college football.
I just want to see what you were going to say. I'll tell the world. I got some issues with my computer work. If your IT department is bad at your job, I feel your pain big time right now.
I'll help y'all, man.
My production notes, I got the first page.
I got you.
We've been freestyling this show.
Yes, we are, man. We doing it like
freestyling. Wally didn't know we were even talking fantasy football.
No, I didn't know that at all.
And we really didn't talk. We just said sit, start, and he made it up.
I didn't know.
He wrote it down with a highlighter.
Yeah, and then I wrote it with a black marker over that. So I got some black and yellow. black and yellow. What's that on the back?
Twitter.
Crap. Yeah, we won't have Twitter.
All right, college football.
Let's talk about West Virginia. You want to talk about that one? Or you want to talk about the big super conference thing?
It's up to you.
Man, it's up to you.
It's your show. Wally-O.pop.
No, it's a team show.
It's
a team show, man. It's a team show.
All right, come on, man.
Let's talk about the... All right, let's keep it local, man. You know what I mean? Let's go West Virginia, Maryland. Geno Smith. You ain't like Geno Smith? What is there not to like about Geno Smith, man?
Do what y'all put me on the spot now.
Yeah, Geno Smith.
All right. I'll save you.
I'll start off. What I liked about the West Virginia game and Maryland game was more, like I said, I'm not done. Todd Machey talked about Geno Smith. And this, I think this was like the first time I truly watched a whole Geno Smith game. And, you know, the stereotype for black quarterbacks is, you know, when you think of a black quarterback, you've seen a picture of Geno Smith that all he did was run. He's a pocket quarterback, and he's a very good pocket quarterback. He can throw from inline, from sideline to sideline with velocity and accuracy. You don't see that a lot in college, and not even just in college football, you don't see it a lot. And he's a pocket quarterback who is mobile, and he's only a junior. And when I look at, when I see him, I'm thinking like, oh, dang, he could be the Redskins quarterback of the future if he decided to come out this year, because there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that people would want over him. But I think he's more talented than a lot of NFL quarterbacks. I mean, and a talented than a lot of the prospect quarterbacks out there in the college game. But I can't, I was highly,
I like, I like Russell Martin.
Russell Martin.
That's
the catcher for the Yankees.
No, not Russell Martin. what's Wisconsin's quarterback now? He played for He played for NC State, too. What's his name?
Oh, I know you're talking about number 14.
Russell something. Damn.
I don't know his name. Russell Wilson.
There we go. I said Russell Martin. That's hilarious. Yeah. Maryland, what got me was they came back, and the fans left. What sucked. It showed that Maryland is still not a football school. Unfortunately, the fans left when they were down, and they made a game of it. Actually, with that quarterback, which everybody around here loves, that last drive, I was shocked he threw an interception. We just knew it was about to go to overtime or Maryland was going to win. I thought Maryland was going to win.
He forced that play.
He played without his top two receivers.
Yeah, he forced it.
Played without his top two receivers. Well, at least two out of the top three receivers.
Yeah, Maryland.
And they're not playing this week either.
Let's be honest. Maryland's a lot better than I thought they were with Edsel. They're a lot better. He's looked good. Against Miami, he looked well. He looked good, and against in the second half, he looked good against West Virginia. So, I was impressed. Dave Meggett's son.
He's not that good to me.
Yeah, but the young guy, his backup was actually productive. I forgot his name, but he was very productive in that game. He had a lot of key runs for him and scored. Scored their touchdown to tie the game. Was it the touchdown to tie the game? I believe. He had a touchdown to tie the game. So I was impressed with Maryland's backfield. I could say that much. The wide receivers to me in Maryland are terrible. I feel like they have like the worst. I don't know if it's a coaching thing or something in the water, but the wide receivers that come out of Maryland can't catch for whatever reason it is. I don't know. But they're fast, but they just can't catch. And the same thing applies to this current Maryland roster.
It's the recruiting. Yeah, Edsel will get his guys in there now. He might be reuniting with UConn now that they're coming to the ACC.
You're right.
I actually thought West Virginia was going to overlook Maryland because they got LSU coming to Morgantown. I can't imagine being in Morgantown next week. That's probably going to be sick, especially a college-age person. I'm not going on there at 30 years old. That's stupid. although you saw Remember the Titans. No, I remember the Titans. Varsity Blues.
That's our song.
I never miss one of these parties. Dude was like 40 years old at a Friday night party drinking with the teenagers. That's just sickening. But Morgantown is going to be a sick environment. Maryland, take notes. This is what you want your football.
And speaking of that game is going to be mean. I think LSU is going to be the upset alert. Geno Smith is going to beat LSU. They don't score enough. That's one thing. LSU's defense is light. They don't get wrong. It's fast. But their offense isn't scoring enough for me.
LSU?
Watch. You'll see.
I'm not picking LSU.
I'm picking
But you West know what? Virginia. I'm actually down with you, man. I'm not going to say I totally agree, but I wouldn't be surprised. I like West Virginia.
Yeah, Geno Smith all the way. Washington Redskins next quarterback. Geno Smith.
Did you like him before this week?
No, I liked them last year, actually. When I heard it, because Todd Mochet, I always...
Because you picked Virginia Tech to win the ACC, right?
Yeah, they're going to win the ACC. West Virginia's in the Big East.
Duh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, Virginia Tech's going to win the ACC.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Geno Smith because off of what Todd Mochet, I trust Todd Mochet. Before really seeing him that... Todd Mochet, I like him more like Mel Kiper. And he said Geno Smith is going to be special.
Before we get to the Super Conference, I was a little shocked at Notre Dame. I thought Notre Dame was done in the war. I thought they were going to go 0-3 and people were going to be calling for Kelly's head eventually. That didn't happen.
We talked about it.
That surprised me. Y'all talked about that last week?
We talked about Kelly last week. What we mentioned was that, you know, we think that the Notre Dame job might be a little bit over his head. He's stressing out too early. But obviously, in that
Michigan... That's pressure, yeah.
Yeah, in that Michigan State game... he got everything back. But, you know, Notre Dame been losing games kind of stupid. And, like, the way they've been losing games is stupidly. turnovers have cost them to lose games. Has cost them to lose games. And that's how, you know, that's why their record is what it is, because of turnovers. They've actually offensively moved the ball up and down the field pretty frequently. But due to their turnovers, it's cost them to win the Michigan game and cost them against South Florida. So Notre Dame isn't a terrible team, but there's a lot to be improved.
ACC potentially becoming one of these super conferences. Are they going to get better as a collective conference in football?
No.
You don't think recruiting is going to be impacted in a positive way because the addition of more teams? UConn is starting to develop a decent football program.
When Edsel was there, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's established. Once it's established, I think it's not hard to maintain. Well, I'm not going to say it's not hard, but I believe it should be able to be somewhat maintained.
It depends, because I remember the same argument was when Northwestern had Darnell Autry. When Darnell had Darnell Autry, everybody thought that Northwestern team would be a better team from that point on. When they went to the Rose Bowl and lost to USC, I believe, they thought that team would be better. And as soon as that class left, it was back to being Northwestern. UConn just isn't a football team. And I think the teams they brought in, Pitt has an opportunity because they've been a decent football team from time to time, but I just don't see them. I don't see it helping the ACC. I don't see them helping the ACC. Yeah, Syracuse has always been bad. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. Pittsburgh took a step back when the coach got involved. Just hired him and had to fire him right away.
Yeah.
Now, Wanstead was there, the year before last?
Yeah, for a while, too.
When you got a Dave Wanstead, you're going to have sustained relevancy, if that makes sense. But beyond that, and the sad thing is Pittsburgh, the state of Pennsylvania, and Pittsburgh, that area in particular, produces great high school football talent.
Yeah, they had, honestly, Pittsburgh, the university, has had good talent. I believe they've had Antonio Brown, Shady McCoy,
Fitzgerald.
They've had talent. They just, even the guy who plays with
LeSean McCoy, you saying?
Yeah, they said LeSean McCoy. And the guy who got drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs, Baldwin, who got punched by Thomas Jones.
Yeah.
They've had talent. It's just that they don't win. They never live up to the hype. So, I don't know. Pittsburgh is interesting.
There's going to be a 16th team. Let's speculate. Who do you think is going to be? There's going to be probably from the Big East that's going to leave. That's going to go to the ACC.
Probably Boston College. Is Boston College right there? I'm sorry. I'm thinking, Lord. What ACC?
West Virginia would be great. Oh, for basketball,
I think West Virginia would be there.
That would be great.
That's a good one. No, it is. It's ideal.
I just said for basketball, too, but, you know, football specifically.
Yeah, ideally, West Virginia would be the best one. Ideally.
And
because you got
geographically, it makes sense.
Yeah, because you'll have Virginia, West Virginia. You got Tech. Yeah, ideally, yeah. It'd be West Virginia.
I mean, hey, West Virginia v Tech, that would be a nice rivalry. You know what? The ACC got a potential for something.
They have Rutgers, man. Take Rutgers. I hate Rutgers. I hate them in the Big East. Take Rutgers.
Well, you know what? You laugh, but Rutgers is one of the names mentioned. See, Georgetown, not a football school.
Exactly.
Villanova, not a – but Villanova, that's a football team.
Yeah, but D2.
They were FBS championships.
They're D2. Okay.
You got St. John's, no football program.
No.
A lot of these teams can't go anywhere. Seton Hall.
That's good.
You
have Rutgers. Just take Rutgers.
Nah, you know what? I'm actually campaigning for West Virginia.
Actually, I take that back.
I want
Rutgers to stay. Georgetown needs somebody to whip up on.
Rutgers beat y'all, upset y'all 1 year.
Like a couple years ago. That was like a bad Georgetown team.
But Marquette has been rumored to be the 16th team, as I've heard.
Their D1 football team?
No, I'm just saying, but just join ACC. I don't know.
That's not a good one. Yeah, that's good for Marquette, I guess.
West Virginia would be the best.
That's the best one.
See,
I think now you
if you add West Virginia to that equation, recruiting in football will be good, even at Syracuse.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Syracuse
is okay. Syracuse, they have alumni to bring people in. Like, they could say Don McNabb went to Syracuse. They could say Marvin Harrison went to Syracuse.
I mean, every school has somebody like that.
They could say Kevin Johnson went to Syracuse.
I shouldn't say every school.
Not every school. Northwestern has Darnell Autry.
Adrian Autry, too, right?
Who?
Adrian Autry, whatever related.
I thought it was Darnell Autry.
No, that's his name.
Who's Adrian Autry?
That was a relative. He was like a brother. It was definitely his brother.
He played on the team?
Yeah.
He don't seem he's not memorable.
You keep on saying Donnell Archer.
Yeah, Donnell Archer. That's the only one I know that was good for Northwestern.
Northwestern had a guy. No, they didn't. I get them confused with Washington. Similar type of colors. So I'm not going there.
Napoleon Kauffman.
Let's move on to Major League Baseball, and we'll end the show. We always end with baseball.
That's good, man. Baseball's great. It's doing good.
This is where baseball gets exciting this time of year. The biggest story, obviously, is the Red Sox collapse.
And Steven Strasburg is tight.
Steven Strasburg? He hasn't walked a batter yet. He's amazing.
The Nationals are amazingly stupid. But yeah, that's
no good. Hey, man. They had to balance the books for the years.
Obviously. It's dumbness.
Well, what's wrong with the Red Sox, in your opinion?
The Red Sox, they're choking. They got the talent. And injuries to the pitching staff is hurt, too. They came in, Buchholz went down. And, you know, anytime you lose a couple of your pitchers and you have to trade for Eric Bedard for help, it's an issue. So it's pitching. It's been injuries. But that shouldn't be an excuse alone. They're talented enough alone to not lose that lead this way, and they haven't. So I have to say they're just choking. And the Rays aren't making it easy for them, too, at the same time.
Surging at the right time.
Yeah.
But in New York, where they historically struggle.
And they were down 4-0 last time I checked, too.
Yeah, they historically struggle in the Bronx.
And the Orioles are losing to the Red Sox by 1, I believe. So yeah. The Red Sox have an opportunity to put that lead up to 3. To 2.
It's been a long show. It's been a lot to talk about. I would love to go further in depth in college football and in baseball. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. But let's say the Eagles go to the Super Bowl this year. Is that a bigger story than the Phillies? Because now people are saying Philly is all of a sudden a baseball town because they've had about 5 years of success. It's easy.
No, it would be the Eagles because it'd be their first Super Bowl ever. And anytime you get your first is always memorable.
I don't know about that. Philly's a football town.
Yeah, I mean traditionally, yeah.
I think the Sixers come in last at this point.
Since Allen Iverson left, it hasn't been the same.
Nah, even Allen Iverson, I think they took a backseat to the Phillies, the Flyers, and
not the Flyers.
Eagles.
No, the
Flyers are much bigger than the Sixers.
Really?
Trust me.
The hockey.
Trust me.
In Philly?
Yes. The Flyers.
I believe you, right?
The people want the Flyers to win. You have no idea. But you know what? I'm going to take that back. It might be a hockey town. Philly might be a hockey town.
I never heard that.
Might not be a football town. It depends on who you talk to. We'll talk about that after the show. The Phillies, I'm kind of rooting against them. I'm sorry. They're like Duke basketball right now to me. I don't want them to win either.
I want Milwaukee to win it all. I want Prince Fielder to get his last season in Milwaukee to get a championship.
I'm rooting for Atlanta. Atlanta, Arizona, somebody.
Atlanta's team doesn't excite me enough to root for.
Why do you got to excite you? Milwaukee excites you?
Yeah, man. The home run, Prince hitting home runs.
Yeah, just Prince. That's the problem. That's the problem with baseball. That's the problem I have.
What?
There's no spring training. What does spring training mean? Swinging a bat? Does he run? Does he do something?
He's strong, man. He lifts weights, man.
He squats on the couch.
I knew.
Gets him a good meal,
man.
No disrespect to baseball. No disrespect to college football. It's just Will T is not here. He made it hard. You got to talk about all these different things. We're not a real show yet. We're still a podcast. We got to keep it limited. We're on a time frame. So I'm trying to figure out how to close out because there was another question that I wanted to ask you before the show ended, and it's drawn blanks. If I had my production notes, that'd be like awesome.
That's why I'm looking at my old notes to wrap up.
Yeah, is that going to work?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you read the information off so
yeah,
where you
exactly.
can reach the show.
And this is all staged, people. This is just how
it is.
Well,
I said read the information.
Yeah,
I didn't say it.
It is. I will read the information. And I'll read it in my radio voice.
Nah, don't do that, please.
Oh, it's coming. It's wait for it. And here it comes. To listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also listen to us on the Apple G's radio show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. And also, you can check us out on Thursdays on the Sports Crib podcast show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WCStillerFan. Back to you, Ray.
Dallas week here in D.C. But I guarantee in Dallas, they're not saying it's Washington week.
No, in Dallas, they are saying it's for Washington week. Tweet it. Talk to Viv and all of them. Holler at me.
Viv don't live in Dallas.
She live in Texas.
Don't matter. Ain't Dallas.
Close enough.
Ain't Fort Worth either.
You don't know. You just say that. I guarantee. Why don't you say guarantee? How can you say guarantee? That's 100%. Period. That means that you're 100% serious. Dallas Cowboy Blue is like, we got y'all. They know. They know.
Dallas Cowboy Blue is one man.
They know.
Vivian is one woman.
They know.
Two people.
Shawty love. I got
favor. Well, regardless, it is Dallas. It is a rivalry, but people like yourself having knowledge in the past, it's not the same.
Who? I've said that?
You said the rivalry isn't the same.
When have I said that?
It's not.
Do you have proof of this?
Probably. I have to go back and listen. I'm not doing that.
Exactly. So I don't think I said that. This rivalry is the best rivalry in
Skins potentially 3-0. Potentially 3-0.
In football.
If they're 3-0, next week will be a big show. If they're not, next week will be an even bigger show.
Like
we'll,
I said.
We'll have something to talk about.
It's the biggest rivalry in football.
In football.
The biggest rivalry
in football. It's not even the biggest rivalry in this area.
It's the biggest rivalry in
Ravens
football.
Steelers is the biggest rivalry
in
this area.
No, it's not. I can squash that argument easily.
In football?
Mm-hmm. Because if it was the biggest rivalry in football, they're prime time on Monday night or on ABC or NBC. Orioles up 7-5, yes. Or NBC. Redskins prime time. Sorry, I got distracted. Redskins prime time. The Cowboys early almost every year, so it's the biggest rivalry in football.
Are you gonna go on TV? Are you kidding me? The primetime game last night was the Rams and Giants.
I just said
we're gonna end the show.
I'm right.
We're gonna end the show just like that.
I'm right.
They don't play in the playoffs. The Redskins, Cowboys, Steelers, Ravens do. It's a
like
rap.
I said,
I want every argument.
Add
we out.
Look at history.
Woo!
Yeah, that's right.